Happy New Year, and welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Monday, January 1st. Are you staring at an overwhelming obstacle at the beginning of this brand new year? Well, you can learn much from God's instruction to Joshua. Here's today's podcast on Facing Fear with Courage.
Fear is a hindrance. If you'll think about what it does, it creates anxiety in our heart, it divides our mind, it drains our energy, and it hinders whatever we're doing in life. In fact, God does not expect His followers to be fearful. And you'll recall in the 10th chapter of Matthew, when He was sending out His disciples on one of their journeys, He said to them three times in that passage as He was giving them some instruction. He said, "Fear not, fear not, fear not." And He named the different things they were not to fear. And you and I know that all through the life of Jesus, He was challenging us to believe Him and not be afraid. And yet we are. And there's some specific reasons, probably, that we can name, that we could say would be natural and normal, things that would cause fear. And when you think about the society in which we are living in today, think about all the financial crises that we face. People have lost their homes and their car and their future and their salaries, everything. And you think about the kind of fear that comes when you think in terms of terrorists, when they blow up your city. You could just go right down the list of things that would naturally create fear. And so the question is, how are we to respond? Well, as followers of Jesus, we have a very specific, clear way we are to respond. Does that mean that we're never to feel any of it? No, but we're not to live in it. And we're to respond as those who know the God of this universe, who is the sovereign of this universe, who controls all things at all times and all circumstances. And if I do believe that He's that kind of God, then I know that whatever's going on, He's going to see us through it no matter what it is. Now, in this passage of Scripture I want to read today, it is a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, and I want to read about how God spoke to this one person, and He gave us the key to overcoming fear. He gave us the key to living a godly life, a successful life, and a prosperous life. You say, well, how could God say so much in so few words? Because there's no book in the world like it. This is God's Word. It's a word of instruction to us. And even though, for example, many things we read are from the Old Testament, it's interesting what Paul said to those Corinthian Christians when he was writing to them and writing about this very issue of the fact that, well, all these things happened many, many years ago. So I want you to listen to what he said. In the 10th chapter, he says, I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, of the things that have happened in the past and so forth. And so he says in verse 6, now these things happened as an example for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave, that is, in the Old Testament, how they disobeyed God. Then he says again in the 11th verse, now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of this age have come. Now what he's saying is simply this, and something very important. We have to remember this. Though this was not written to us because we didn't exist, the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation was written for us. It was written to them and for them. It was written to them, but also written for us. Because here's how we learn to live a godly life and a prosperous life and a successful life. In this passage of Scripture, I want you to listen very clearly. If you will practice one thing, God will change your life for the good, for the best. So I want you to turn, if you will, to Joshua, the very first chapter. And in this first chapter of Joshua, remember what's happening, that the nation of Israel, they had been to the edge of the promised land, which God had promised them years before. And having come through the Red Sea, Exodus out of Egypt, to Mount Sinai to receive the law of God, across the wilderness, and now to the edge of the promised land. And you remember what happened, and that is when Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land to spy it all out. They came back and 10 of them said, we can't do it because of walled cities and because there are giants there. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, yes, we can. God has given us this land. Let's go. The people listened to the 10 rather than to the 2. And as a result, their negative attitude caused them to make a decision not to go. For the next 40 years, they wandered around in the wilderness, and all those over 20-some years of age dying off. Now they're right back at the same place, and listen to what's happening. 40 years later. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm given to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place in which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I've swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not tremble and be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That is a powerful passage of Scripture. Because of the principle, because of what God said to Joshua, what he said to him applies to your life and my life when we face challenges and difficulties and hardships and things that would naturally cause us to fear. Now, the reason I know that Joshua was having a little twinge was this, that he said to him three times, be strong and of a good courage. Be very strong and of a good courage. And he says, have I not commanded you now? Be strong and of a good courage. It's interesting that when Joshua took God's command to him, and he gathered the people and told them what God had said to him, then in the 18th verse of this first chapter, having heard how God spoke to Joshua, then the Scripture says in verse 17, just as we have obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Now listen to this. Anyone, this is what the people are saying, anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Even the people were saying to him, be strong and courageous. So when I look at this passage of Scripture and I realize that what God said to him was an awesome challenge. Listen to what God was saying to him. Joshua, Moses is dead. You're the man. I'm going to be with you. But you're to lead these people across the Jordan into the promised land. You're to take the land. They gave him very clear instructions about how they were to do it. So I think about the fact that here's Joshua remembering how many times they tried to stone him, that is, stone Moses, because they didn't like what he said. And now you've got over 2 million of them, and they've been rebellious all those years, and oftentimes failing in their faith. And now he's saying to him, you are to take them across into the promised land. Well, I think that probably would have caused a little fear in most anybody. And that's why God said to him three times, he says, be strong and of a good courage, be strong and of a good courage, be strong and of a good courage. Have you ever felt like God was telling you that? Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. Because you see, all of us will face things in life that cause us to be afraid, that give us challenges, that cause us to look around us and say, how can it happen? How can I manage that? How could this ever work out for me? And so it's because of our doubts and our fears. And sometimes a little fear can grow into a big fear. And there's a key to all of that in this passage of Scripture. It's one of the most important passages in the Old Testament, as far as I'm concerned, because when it comes to living your life every day and knowing how to deal with the fears and the anxieties and the things that would divide our mind and cause us to have an energy drain and inhibit the things that we'd like to accomplish and like to do, here is the key in this passage of Scripture. Now, let's just define what courage is. And what I want you to notice is this. Courage isn't just being determined and being hard-nosed and being tough. A quality of mind or spirit that enables us to meet danger, opposition, or the challenges of life with fearlessness, calmness, and firmness. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have any fear, but what courage is an expression of how you face it. How? Fearless, calmness, firmness. That is, when these things hit us, we don't have to cave in and give in and say, what am I going to do and wring my hands? But he said, be strong and of a good courage. Be firm. Be resolute. Be confident. And what is it that builds confidence when we face things that oftentimes are very, very fearful in our life? And how many times as a pastor I've heard people say, let me tell you what's happening to me, and I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid. So with that in mind, and I think about how God said what he said, it doesn't mean that you and I will never have any fears, but the issue is, how long am I afraid? That is, fears will come suddenly, for example. And you know, if you just, by a hair's breadth, miss an accident, you feel that. Well, let me ask you this. How many times you've been driving in the highway and all of a sudden, here's a policeman at blue light and the whistle just going, and what do you feel? What do? You look at your speedometer to see if you're guilty or not. Now, you're not doing but 50 miles an hour. Everybody around you is doing 85. But somehow there's something about that. So those are those kind of things. Then there are issues that are far more serious. And you remember that Jesus told us not to fear. He said, for example, on occasion, he said, fear not. He said to the disciples, walking on the water, he said to them, do not be afraid. It is I. Do not be afraid. And I think all of us have been in situations, if we haven't been, we will be, when we needed to hear that. It is I. Be not afraid. Well, herein, I believe, is the key to all of that. He said to him, beginning in verse 6. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Three times in those short verses, in that short conversation, he said to him, be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. Have I not warned you? You've got to be strong and courageous. Why would he say that? Because he knew that he was going to get a lot of opinions and a lot of suggestions about what he ought to do and how he ought to do it. And watch this. God knew that Jericho was coming. He knew he would face some things that absolutely were unreasonable. That's why I said to him, you've got to be very courageous. And you can't be drawn off course. Watch this. He said, not only did he charge him with being courageous, but look what he said. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you have success wherever you go. It isn't enough just to be strong, but he says, be sensitive here. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses has commanded you. Then he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have success. Now, it's interesting what he said to him. Three times, be strong and courageous. But it's what he said between those times I want you to notice here. Because you see, there are times when people are fearful and can't figure out why they're fearful. Well, notice what he said. He said in verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, and be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. So you may ask the question, well, does that mean that I'm to do everything in the Old Testament? No. Because all the Mosaic law that had to do with sacrifices and big meetings and all the things that related to them as a nation of Israel. We don't practice that. Somebody says, well, why not? When Jesus came, you remember he said he came not to violate the law, but to fulfill the law. That is, all the expectations and all the symbols that were created in the Old Testament and all the laws and all the festivals and all that had to do with their relationship to the Father. And so all of that was creating a nation and creating faith in Almighty God, Jehovah God. And then when Jesus came, all of that was satisfied. No more sacrificing of lambs and sheep and goats and bulls and doves and all that, because the final sacrifice took place at Calvary. Jesus said, I've come to fulfill the law. That's why the temple veil was rent from top to bottom, not bottom to top, so that the Holy of Holies was wide open, because now we have a whole different relationship to God than they had. So all those laws, that's what he was talking about then. In fact, when he said this book of the law, was referring primarily to the book of Deuteronomy, because the book of Deuteronomy is in the Old Testament. This was God's instructions on how to live, and he gave them warnings. The 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, for example, is one of the most solemn warnings in the Word of God. And if you read Deuteronomy, here's what you'll find. You'll find this nation of ours has violated everything he warned them against violating. And also he gives them the judgment that will come upon them because they violated. So while it was not written to us, it was written for us, because all the truth in the Old Testament is still truth. The Mosaic law and the things he required of just Israel doesn't apply to us. So when we come to this passage, what is it about it that applies to us? When he says, be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you'll have success. Well, here's what he means. You can't go by what seems right, because he knew that Jericho would not seem right. He knew that many battles they would face would not seem to be right. You have to do exactly, he says, as the law of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy, has commanded you. And he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful, look at that word again, to do according to all that is written in it. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have success. It's when you and I know what to do, know what the Word of God says, and then we decide to think about it. And we decide we listen to him and listen to her. And then we think about our feelings. Well, but I'm afraid. He said, do according to all that God has told us to do. God will speak to your heart, my heart, just as clearly as he did to Joshua's heart. Now, one of the big problems we face is this. Many people do not believe that God will speak to them. And one of the primary reasons you don't believe that is because there's something going on in your life that you know is not right. Guilt, fear, doubt, all of these things confuse the Word of God in our minds. And so oftentimes a person who is a believer, you've prayed and asked God to show you what to do. Well, it doesn't seem exactly as easy as you thought it would. And so you decide you're going to do something else. Ask yourself the question, what is it about God you don't trust? If God tells you to do something, remember who's telling you. This is omniscience, Almighty God, who knows your future, knows every detail of the situation that you're facing, and knows the danger. And what does he want you to do? He wants you to follow his instructions, not your friend's instructions, not someone else's instructions, but to do exactly what he tells you to do. Therein lies the key. That's part of it. And so he said to him, you want to be prosperous? You want to have success? This is the way you prosper, and this is the way you succeed.
Thank you for listening to Facing Fear with Courage. For more inspirational messages like this, visit our online 24/7 station. And if you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or InTouch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of InTouch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.